Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, I'm just checking my compressor to see is it working. Good morning. It is, yes.
Well, the latest news is that hopefully, and everything, we will have our Pirates record next Sunday on the program. Or maybe earlier on in the week, we will have a record dedicated to the Pirates of Ireland. And that'll be something to look forward to.
And I've heard
it's been recorded, I think, tomorrow evening or thereabouts, or tomorrow morning, or whatever the case might be. We'll be having a little bit more news on that later on today. Well, you, the listener, won't, but I will, hopefully. The words are written out and all the rest, and the air is gotten. It's just a matter of going into a recording studio and recording it. We hope to make about £1.5 million out of the sales of said same record. Good morning, young Riley.
Good morning, boss.
How's it going?
Not so bad.
Does he look well this morning?
He does, yeah.
Did you see the T-shirt he wears in here this morning?
Yeah.
Midwest Radio.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be.
And the other lad is the North Star. Or whatever.
Northern Star.
Whatever
or Star.
Men of the world.
Right. Well, as we said last Sunday, we invited Jerry Riley in since we now know after last night. Were you looking at the programme last night?
I was, yeah. I was looking at the news last night, and, it was fairly... It didn't last very long, so...
Yeah.
I just took in as much information as I could while I went on.
I thought there'd be a write-up on the papers about it today. If there's any paper that I've missed, that there is a write-up on what exactly the areas are from the discussion on RTE News last night, TV News, perhaps somebody might give us a ring and let us know which newspaper it's in. Because I certainly couldn't see anything about it at all this morning on any newspapers whatsoever. Anyway, it's been a long time.
It has, yeah.
And you've only 3 weeks left to work now.
2 weeks left.
2 weeks left to work. This is another man here now for the doll queue. And you became very rich over the radio scene, didn't you? And he's laughing, he is. How many stations did you set up anyway, as a matter of interest? I know you set up quite a lot. Roughly. I know you probably couldn't put a finger on it.
I think we set up around about altogether between, I'd say about 30 to 40 over the years. Some of them have gone now. A lot of them are still operating.
Yeah, I hear my alarm going downstairs. Obviously, your good brother, isn't he? I'm just switching it off. He's had to set it off. No chance. So, that's it. Look at, sorry about this, but we're going to have to take a record. Oh no, he's it off. The whole street. Did you hear the alarm going downstairs?
He's just set off.
I sent him down to get a tape recorder, which we'd like in. And I told him how to switch off the alarm. So, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some Gardaí around the place.
Do you read about a record? You
no,
about
we don't know.
By the way, the Sunday Press has something in it on the subject you were talking about.
It has.
Something small, I didn't get to say what it was. Something about mapping out the areas and all that sort of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I have the Sunday Press downstairs and we went through it and there's nothing in it.
I know, but it's not in pictures, it's in writing.
Oh, well, I looked through the writing as well, even the
what
small
ads. The writing?
Mary McNamara and the whole lot.
Yeah, well, Jerry, I think, clicked on what I was saying. It was the sort of a little pun on you, but anyway. Well.
Anyway, for all of you people out there that don't know who Jerry Riley is, Jerry Riley would be a very famous guy in around, especially in around the border area, the Cork area, the Limerick area. In having built, as he said himself, about 30, 40 medium wave transmitters, FM transmitters, studios, and I think you've done a bit of painting in your time and laying carpet in these studios and everything. Would that be right?
Well, that's true, well, right. As you probably are aware, this time last year, Sean, when we met down in Loughrea.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Funny incident.
That was a very funny station, Loughrea, wasn't it?
It was good crack, all right.
You installed the medium wave.
Yeah.
Then you installed the link transmitter, the FM.
That's right, yeah.
Right? And then you installed the studios.
That's right.
Right, you done all the carpentry work.
And the painting.
And the paint. And you laid the carpet.
That's correct.
And your man just walked in and took over. Was that it?
That's correct, yeah.
That's an actual... It's a very, very funny station. The crack in that station actually was very, very good. How was the... Why did the people, were saying Roscommon in the last month, knowing that there was going to be a close down, why did they go ahead? What was their...
Well, I think the people always had the impression that it dragged out so long that it would still drag out for another 4 or 5 years. And I'd say that's the reason why they...
So they reckoned they were going to be left on for maybe a year or two?
Yeah, that's what they thought. And it didn't happen like that.
Mm-hmm. And which of the stations would say, in your estimations, that you've installed, which of them kind of done the best? I mean in radius and broadcasting-wise, not financial-wise. Which of them would you reckon that has done the best?
Well, as we were talking to Tony Mulligan last week, and His impression was that Radio North in Sharon Donner was definitely putting out the best signal of any station in Ireland. Now, for radios, I would say that 954 is Big M's in Castleblaney and also...
Yeah, but is there much of a difference, like, in your estimations? Is there really that much difference? Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's...
Are you talking about 5 mile, 2 mile, 1 mile, or what?
Well, on a digital radio, you know the button to seek local. 954 Big M will seek local at 30 mile.
Now, and what's the nearest thing to that, then?
In the north. The nearest one, the next strongest one to that would be 891.
And how many miles did you seek that at?
You'd seek it about, there's about 5 miles in the difference. Mm-hmm. But definitely there's a better signal strength.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And what was the normal, like, there was robbers and thieves and everything going around through the years working on radio. I know there was a few lads in Dublin who we won't mention, but I'm sure if anybody are listening in there this morning, they got touched by them at some stage, and there's probably 5 or 6 of them up there. There's a couple of more around the country in different parts of the country who, in actual fact, as far as I'm concerned, and I had them ringing me in here telling me what they paid for transmitters, etc., were absolutely robbed, fleeced. What sort of prices were you charging, and how did you work out with these people?
Well, myself and Hedy Eddie from Brian said, we worked together for a number of years, and I think at that time I think it was about £1,500 for the medium wave.
What sort of prices have you heard people paying out for transmitters? Now, exorbitant prices.
Mm. Well, I've seen for an instance, one instance I've seen there, and I only come across it in the past month, was down in Kerry, in Killarney.
Yeah.
Southwest Radio. They had paid about, they had spent over £100,000.
And what did they have for £100,000?
All they had was about 3 FMs.
Small FMs. Were they CTEs or
the Humbers? No, they were Humbers. And, I couldn't believe it when I seen it, and seen the amount.
And who touched them?
I prefer not to say.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know who touched
them. Oh, I know who it was, yeah.
And were they Irish or English or what?
Well, they were half and half.
Half and half.
Yeah.
Aye. Mm. Right, okay. But that's the sort of thing that people don't believe about radio. That there was guys, in actual fact, throughout the years, and I fellas ringing me in here, and okay, this last while back I've been recommending you, because you were often telling me what you sold the FMs at and what they cost you. In actual fact, I think you were just wasting your time. There was really no money in it for you, as far as I think what you were after was the maintenance of it and the installation.
That's correct.
Rather than making profit on the gear itself.
Mm.
And what's your view on the... Good morning, Willie. We'll hold it off. It's a special today. Right. We'll leave it another few minutes till we take a break. Willie is mad to run ads. You see that? We've got to make money in this.
I'm mad to make the money.
I must count the ads and the rest of the
boys. Oh, no, up here.
We're gone away. How many ads are we running?
It was 132.
132. That's exactly what we're running at the minute.
That ain't bad.
And that ain't bad, because our rack actually is full. So
we're going to have another one here. We need 4 arms.
And I reckon in the next week or so they'll be hanging on the walls and everything. So we room
actually, no, you've been commissioned. Little do you know to make another rack. Yeah.
No, I'm not making another rack. Only for a few weeks. What's the situation, we say, for, in your point of view, what's coming, we say, after Christmas?
Well, looking at the television last night, and it looks like that there's going to be a station, there's 2 stations for Dublin, for provision for a third.
Mm-hmm.
There's 2 for Wicklow, and he made reference about the one in Wicklow. He said that the reason why he's putting in 2 there is because of the mountains.
Yeah, we can get around.
And there's...
Did he mention power?
No, he made no reference to power.
To power, the technical end of things wasn't mentioned at all.
No word about it at all.
Yeah.
Not in the bulletin that I see.
Oh, no, it seems to me so stupid. That the minister now, first and foremost, a while back, when the whole thing of licensing came to be, he read out exactly where the licenses are going to be going, and such as counties are going to be tied together, and this and that the other. However, it was kind of basically a free-for-all as far as application was concerned, etc., right? So, I know some of the big consortiums in the country, for example, the Northeast or Northwest or South West, etc. They are big consortiums, and they are applying for licenses. Like, there's a couple of them in each area, and they're applying for a license not to cover one county or two, but the whole region, which they seem, after doing market research and everything, it had justified the situation to spend this amount of money, put up a proper radio station, and run it financially justifiable. Now the minister came along last night and states that, well, such a county is with such a county, or it's a single county, and we say there's two for Wicklow, and supposing a guy had applied in Wicklow for to do Wicklow, Kildare, or whatever the case might be, it means now that his application virtually can be thrown in the bin. He'll get an application, but he's got to change horses very fast, and if he has got himself involved in a consortium to cater for a certain area, it means now that he's going to have to drop half of them.
That's correct, all right.
I wonder why did he do that? Why didn't he do that first and tell people where the applications or where the licences were going to be given out for definite, rather than kind of change his tune now after a while?
Well, this probably is based on population, different areas.
Anyway, that's fixed now, isn't it?
That's it. All pilots off the air on the 31st of December.
Mm-hmm. Right, what else was I going to ask you? What was the situation? We say there's a whole load of stations right along the border, and you fit us actually out most of those, right? Mm. What's the situation, we say, as far as the northern people? What do they think about it, since it is a different country, etc.?
I know, for instance, up in Donegal, an awful lot of people in the north. Now, we have a station up at the very tip of Ireland, up in Malinhead, mm-hmm. which is Radio North.
Yeah.
And it would be playing, all its listeners would be Coleraine, Limavady.
And it's all country music?
It's all country music. But the people over there doesn't realise that it's a pirate radio station, and they don't even realise it's coming from the
south.
From the south. They think it's a radio station in the north. And they didn't even advertise the fact that they were going off on the 31st of December, because they thought if they'd done that, they could upset the people, upset the advertisers, that the advertiser would realise then mm-hmm. where it was coming from.
But I mean, they didn't have to tell the people. If they pick up a newspaper or look at the television,
well, that's true,
they're going to be told left, right and centre.
Well, see, in that particular part of the north, you're separated by 3 or 4 miles of water from the river Foyle.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't be getting free state mm-hmm. papers up there.
And what was the crack we say as far as advertising was concerned? Were they delighted with this new media?
Absolutely delighted with it, yeah. In fact, there was a survey conducted above in Limavady one day.
Yeah.
BBC conducted a survey.
Yeah.
And there was 7 out of 10 people listening to this particular radio station. That was the early days when it was a novelty.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's another thing I was going to talk about, the novelty of radio. I remember you telling me one time that in... where's the Lake of Shadows?
That's right, Bunkrana.
Bunkrana, right. When you set the radio station up there, and at this stage I think you had the aerial built and you were installing the transmitter and there was no studio, would that be right?
That's right, yeah.
And that there was a queue about a half a mile away of staff to get a job. Now, how long ago was that?
That was in November 85.
So it's what, 3 years ago?
3 years ago. I never seen anything like it before or since.
And what was the nearest radio station to that area then?
The nearest radio station to that would be Cavan.
So in other words, they virtually had nothing in Donegal.
No, the nearest wouldn't be commercial, but it'd be BBC station in Derry would be the
And what was being said about you lads, like you were flying around with toolboxes and...
Well, we had never had very many tools, so...
But what was the situation I'm talking about, it would say, as far as the DJs, and that was concerned?
It was unbelievable now, and I have photographs, and in fact I have videotapes and all, off all that, in the early days up there. And there's no doubt about it that the DJs were absolute gods.
In the area?
Up there, in that particular area.
And you were gods to the DJs? Because you kept the thing going.
Way, yeah. Well, I remember one DJ, he was about 55, 60 years of age, and he was brought over 3 months later to open a hotel on the far side of the peninsula.
Yeah.
And he was brought over there, VIP treatment the whole way.
Expenses paid at the moment.
Yeah.
Because he was a personality at the time.
Personality at the time, yeah. He used to go on up nice. So.
Would he have got the job now, after 2 years?
No.
Yeah.
No, he definitely not.
The novelty, you reckon, wore off?
Definitely.
Definitely wore off up there,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, why
do you reckon it wore off? Was it just because they didn't keep... that they disimproved, or that it just became ordinary, or...?
No, the novelty was there until the following October.
Mm-hmm.
Another station started up in...
And then people began to compare, and the novelty was wearing on both of them, yeah.
And then you had DJs running from one station to another then. Mm-hmm.
I was talking to you actually last week, since you've done the last couple of outside broadcasts we had, you were involved in them, and we're very happy to have you and all the rest. I often said to you that if I'd known you years ago, I'd be a millionaire today. There's no doubt about it with all the money I spent in radio. But one thing that was funny, which you said there a couple of weeks ago when I was talking to you, that I was asking, like, how many engineers is a boat and how many fellows will be able to repair transmitters and everything else. And they were telling me a funny thing that when any of the DJs might come out on the job and you'll be working on the transmitters, they'd all say, ah, yes, it's A13s, yeah, I see. they nearly be, everybody knew the word 813, didn't they?
They did, of course, yeah. There's one story I always, I'll never forget, was when the DJ from Britain said, he'd look at the... That's the transmitter, and they say, oh, you're using the early 813s.
Yeah, as if there was something else being
exactly,
used.
Yeah,
nothing
yeah.
else being used.
I told you the story about the salesman down in Longford, did
I? No.
Couldn't go on the road. There was a station down in Longford one time, and...
this is the stage actually funny. Most of the funny stories.
That's right, yeah.
Well, I think we'll tell some of those.
I was talking to the boss man the other day after.
He's no objections.
No objections whatsoever.
Right, we'll tell a few stories.
There was he had a salesman down there, and the salesman couldn't go out on the road if the sun was shining. They always have to go if it's raining.
Now, can anyone solve that
can't
one?
Work that one out, no.
No, can you solve it? That he couldn't go if it was dry.
Yeah.
But if there's lashing rain and that, he could bring the car. But he couldn't bring the car when it was sunny.
Can't work it out.
Right, what was the
answer? The reason for it was that he had no insurance on the car.
He had no insurance.
And they reckoned that the guards wouldn't be on the road if it was raining. So he used to have to wear a pair of Wellingtons with him.
Yeah, because the car was that bad.
And then there's another story told about that, about when the salesman went into a shop in Mohill to collect revenue for an ad, and he came out with the handle of a shovel and a...
And that was his revenue?
That was payment for the
handle of his shovel.
Yeah.
Tony Mulligan actually told me about this particular radio station that he in actual fact installed the equipment.
He installed it. In fact, that was ARD's transmitter.
ARD's transmitter.
Mm. And that transmitter now is in Roscommon.
Roscommon. Yeah. Got to set the travel in a bit. It's going further down west.
The stamps are still on it, the official stamps. And the post office stamps are on it when it was raided.
Oh, they're still
stuck on it. When they cut all the wires, the stuff there.
I think on them,
everyone.
Mm-hmm. One other funny story was that Tony Mulligan, in actual fact, installed the equipment there, and the owner of the station Tony said to him, he said, well, when I go down, he said, well, what do we put the transmitter in? And Tony said to him, look, we need something, what, about 4x4.
Well, he had a...
Or 6x6.
A telephone kiosk.
Yeah, but that's...
When it, us, yeah.
But when Tony arrived down, your man had not a 4x4 or a 6x6, but a telephone kiosk. And in there is what the transmitter.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, the transmitter was in, he couldn't go in.
Tony asked him to make a shelf, wasn't it?
Yeah, Tony asked him to make a shelf, and your man said, well, what would it do for a shelf? And Tony said, well, if I had a door or something. Your man resurrected a chainsaw or something and went and cut a door somewhere.
Cut a door of the house.
Oh. But similarly, the crack and everything, and from your point of view, being going around to the radio stations must have been 90. I think you're sad that it's gone, the crack end of it.
No, there's no doubt about it. I never enjoyed anything like it. Present phase of it lasted.
And most of the people were nice people, weren't they?
Every one of them. I could never say no with any of them.
Yeah.
There was a few rows here and there, all right, but not too many.
A few bowsies.
There was a few bowsies. But the crack was, it was unbelievable.
Uh-huh. And how many of the stations would say that you've done or that you know of or whatever, how many of those seriously would you reckon have made serious money, any money to account of?
Well, I remember the station in Brunkrana in 10 months had made 75,000.
That's serious money.
There's no doubt about that. And I know what Radio North made, and there's a few of them there that didn't make money.
So would you say there was a lot of them that didn't make nearly any money at all?
I'd say there was, yeah. There's no doubt about it.
And why did they not make money? Was there too many stations around them, or what? Or?
There's too many stations around them. The attitude that they had towards it as well didn't go out looking for ads or that. Didn't push it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep, to make it work, you have to keep at it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a station one time down in Melvin, in County Leitrim.
Yeah.
Just outside of Manor Hamilton.
Yeah.
It was a very funny setup as well.
How do you mean funny set up?
Well, they had it inside in the dwelling house.
Yeah.
And there was trouble there.
Mm-hmm.
So there was. And, it was.
There wasn't room for two of them, like.
No.
One of them had to go.
Yeah.
What else was I going to ask?
And they had the transmitter in the studio, the medium wave and all inside in the studio.
Yeah, in actual fact, Carousel in Dundalk.
In fact, this was a Carousel transmitter.
Yeah, but Carousel had the transmitter just behind the piece of timber.
Yeah.
So we're out there, and there was your 813s and all the rest, and the earth's just clamped to the piping of the shopping centre.
Exactly.
We just have yours outside in the shed, just downstairs. We need yours out in the shed.
Ah, yeah, but I'm talking about a shopping centre. Like, there was nothing, only a half an inch between, well, what? There was 2 foot between the DJ and the transmitter.
That's right, yeah.
2 foot. And
well, I've seen the latest setup they had in the Fairways Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So I never was in the shopping centre.
Mm. Well, I mean, the transmitter, the wall at your back when you were sitting, imagine how far, how much room you'd have between a desk and a wall to get in and out. And behind the wall, in actual fact, was timber, and behind that wall was the transmitter. Because you could hear the thump in the way of the modulation transformer, even in the studio. Like, if the DJ was talking to you off air, you could hear just go in the background. So, that's it. Sinead, we'll take an ad break, and I'll recuperate my thoughts, and we're back to you in, 1 minute flat.
At Roll Three Jewelers, it's our 25th Christmas in business, and we've got some special anniversary offers for you. Like 25% off all engagement rings, 20% off all wedding rings, 10% off all gold jewelry, rings, and 10% off Ainsley and Royal Tara right up till Christmas Eve. Roundtree Jewelers are local agents for Citizen Watches, and with every Citizen Watch bought, we'll enter you into a draw for a Peugeot 205. Stockists of all size watch batteries, rings designed to your own taste, plus repairs carried out in our own workshop. Roundtree Jewelers, Henry Street, Newbridge, just behind the AIB.
The Halfway House Club Begin, now under new management. Present on Sunday 11th, music by Transky Kayleigh Band. Wednesday 14th, card games for Christmas turkeys commencing at 8:30 p.m. Thursday 15th, music from Jerry Rock and Freedom. Bar and lounge available for private parties and club functions. Phone John on 0506-32471. The Halfway House Club Begin. We wish all our customers a happy Christmas and a prosperous new year.
Quinn Fashions, 1 Main Guard Street, Galway, this Christmas for quality fashion at down-to-earth prices.
Just for him at Christmas.
Ladies, for the man in your life, solve your Christmas gift problem with a special gift token from Frank Quinn Fashions. Frank Quinn Fashions has all the name brands, Levi's, Wrangler, Pepe, and Radio, with a great range of leather jackets and suits in up-to-the-minute designs. Also a complete range of knitwear, skirts, casual jackets, trousers, and jeans. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without a visit to Frank Quinn Fashions on the corner of Main Guard Street, Galway.
Thomas Gerard's Menswear, William Street, in Tullamore. At last, the young men of Tullamore can now have a choice of first-class fashion in menswear. You can choose from a large selection of fashion suits, plus casual shirts, knitwear, jeans, and jackets. All are up-to-the-minute styles. Fashion at Thomas Gerard's Main Street in Tullamore. Ladies, call now and choose from our large selection of gifts for the man in your life. Gift vouchers are now available. Thomas Gerard's Main Street in Tullamore. High style this Christmas.
Right. Right. What else do we talk about? We'll continue our conversation.
We'll talk about the television deflector systems.
Well, what is the story there?
The story is there. I remember the first television deflector system was in...
I think we better forget about the future. Right. We'll talk about the past.
Right, okay. the first television deflector system was in Ballygin stuff in County Cavan.
The first one?
First one, yeah. Mm-hmm. First one ever in the country. A fellow called Frank Caffrey, and that's a long number of years ago.
And what did he do?
He deflected a signal from the convent of Ballyduff down to the middle of the town and piped the whole town from it. Piped the town on UHF.
Which that's the same as piped today.
Well, the pipe
wasn't
the town.
No, he piped it.
He deflected it into the town.
Oh, sorry, to the convent.
Yeah, from the convent into the
and
town.
And then piped it from the convent.
Then piped it from the town. Mm-hmm. Right. I remember he had two aerials up. He had one aerial. He was beaming it from one side of the road to the other. And a lorry came down and parked in front of it, and it blocked the whole house. Yeah.
I remember one time when Nova was operating in Dublin and they were using microwave, and everything was going flying. They were at the height of the Nova regime. Mm. And lo and behold, a crane go up someplace about a mile away from them. And every time they swing the jib, Nova would go off the air.
They were on UHF, were they?
Yeah. So there's just a thin line.
Well, there was, back about 4 or 5 years ago down in the west, there was a lot of hassle over the deflecting systems. And look how that's gone on the 31st of December.
But the amount of people down around Alton Rye and down around Joe O'Neill's country.
I think Joe O'Neill's has 12,000 subscribers on their system.
Yeah. And what about down around Clare and all the outskirts of Limerick? That's all rebeamed.
That's all rebeamed, yeah.
And the quality is unbelievably fantastic, isn't it?
Joe Neal's is the best I've ever seen.
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen the gear he's using, and it was on his sights, and they're damp and everything where the gear is. Yeah. Like, imagine if that guy had was given the go-ahead to do it for real.
That's right.
On the cheapy, the way he's doing it. You'd never have a breakdown. You don't have a breakdown once every 10 years.
He's only using a couple of watts.
Mm-hmm.
But
the new system
definitely will not work in this country.
Why not?
Well, it's a NMDS, which is on 800 megahertz.
Yeah.
And it's laying aside.
In other words, the house in the hall isn't going to get a signal unless he puts a huge big area up like he's doing already to pull in the big,
you see. They tried it out in Canada and there was an awful lot of hassle over it.
Yeah.
And I can't see it working out in this country, especially down the south.
Well, if they're going to rebroadcast it on UHF or microwave or on whatever kilohertz you were saying there, would it not be feasible just to do it on the same thing and do it the same way as the R, since they're all broadcasting?
That's right, yeah.
The only problem would be, I think, it's in collecting subscribers, the money off them.
Well, there's no problem collecting the money because in some cases down the south they have all the signals decoded that they can switch off an individual on his own.
Mm-hmm.
They can take off one individual.
Nice. Dominic, you can get the phone there. This is live broadcasting. Right, going back to all those guys are going to lose their TV anyway after this. And we don't know what the minister said last night about the TV.
He said nothing about the TV at all.
Had you any news there on the phone when he had a few phone calls?
No, nothing to tell
Cathy
us anything
Fox was saying
all.
What?
Cathy was just saying that Millennium were going on until February. They've been given
an extension.
An extension, yeah. Till, I think it's the end of February. And just that in Galway, the mayor and everyone else has got together. It's in the papers, the Tribune and the Herald.
Yeah?
They want the stations, which would be, we won't say, but anyway, they want them to stay on.
What is the situation of Fine Gael are giving a motion at the moment that they're going to back for the stations to stay in the air? Obviously, that's all thrown out the window since last night.
Well, it looks like that. But I thought somebody said that he was making another announcement on Monday.
Mm. Yeah, I heard that's that right, along the lines as well. I'm not too sure. But I was at the last, I think, possibly last radio meeting last Thursday night here in Mullingar in the Gravel Arms. It wasn't really 100% attended, but the whole idea of the radio thing was to push or to let the minister know exactly what the situation was as far as radio stations. And in other words, people wanted the radio stations, and why not leave the pirates on the airwaves until the new stations took over? And I think that's basically what all the stations were backing. They also were finding out what if there was a technicality in the licensing laws, which are going to be, if there's a technicality in them whereby they could stall it on that point.
Mm.
So I think most of the points they've done have been exhausted. However, it was successful that they did contact the minister, that they did lobby him, and he was very, very well aware of what was going on because the musicians and that met him last Wednesday, and he made it quite clear to them like that the radio people were basically near to get off his back.
Yeah.
Which the whole object of the exercise was to lobby the minister, and it was very, very successful from that point of view. We did make it very well.
But do you think yourself that if say that the new stations are coming on in March, is there much point in staying on?
There's no point in, for me personally, I don't think anybody else, cause it's going to be hard to get advertising, it's going to be, it's a lean time of the year, there's a few sales on and that sort of thing, but it's the rich time has come up, the Christmas, you got your few bob, close your station and go home and count it, and that's the way I look at it. Give the tax man
fingers
and everybody
crossed
else and their share out of it, but I mean after that it'll cost you money nearly to go on the air, because after Christmas you're really behind the newspapers. The newspapers get the first 2 weeks after Christmas, and after that then the radio comes back into being as again, do you know what I mean?
And it has been announced, and everybody, it's done and plans have been made, and that's you know,
but the advertiser won't accept it either.
They're beginning to know and realize as well, you know,
this is it.
And anyway, give us a few examples now that you've only about 3 minutes to go. What was the funniest times in radio? What was the one thing that sticks out in your mind? Having repaired all these transmitters, having worked it through the night, and a lot of them probably had to bait them to get money out of them, or they hadn't got money when they got you to do the job, or whatever the case may be. What was the funniest instance?
Donegal was very, very good. I mean, enjoyed Donegal for the number of years that we were up there, and Mayo was good,
mm-hmm.
and our own county was good as well, Cavan, Monaghan.
Yeah, which county has the most stations, just a matter of interest?
I'd say Monaghan has the most at the moment.
How many is there?
Well, you have Franklin Charity, Kipps.
Two.
You have Kiss. That's two.
Two, yeah.
You have Northern Star.
Three.
You have Star.
Four.
You have Big M.
Five.
And you have Hometown.
Six.
Six. And the population of Mannheim is 54,000. 53,000.
Six of them.
6,000, yeah. And there's no... There's
now, and also Belton in there. What other stations are coming in there?
You'd have Ironside coming in from Jarden. And...
CCR.
CCR, and you'd have Blindside.
And you'd have Breffni.
You'd have Breffni. Yeah. Well, up and into Breffni does very well up towards that end of the country.
So in other words, what you're saying is Mannheim probably would want to be the... would be one of the best-served radio outside Dublin.
No doubt whatsoever. No doubt whatsoever.
And they'd all be coming in crystal clear on any old radio.
Oh, perfect, yeah. Perfect.
That's only recent as well, isn't it?
Well, this time last year, there was only two stations.
Yeah,
around,
it's all recent.
Mm-hmm. And now there's six.
And do you reckon, supposing there was no law brought in, right, and supposing there was nothing being done at the moment, how would you see the new year? Suppose nothing was going to happen. Would you see yourself installing a whole load more medium waves and FMs and everything?
I would.
A continuation.
Yeah, definitely down the south of Ireland. I know for a fact that if this bill hadn't come through, that I would have an awful lot more.
But you would be living in the west, the south
of Ireland. Yeah, because we went down there to the south, and about just 2 months, it was on a Sunday, brought down stuff in Ireland for the door job for Southwest Radio I think it's Southwest in Killarney. Mm. And they heard the news then that this thing was definitely taking place, that they're going to go off the air, and they decided not to. But they said if there is a change in it, mm-hmm. we'll definitely
go ahead full
time. And there were three jobs going on there. So we set up one.
Killarney, is that the station that our good friend Frank Ryan worked for?
I don't know now.
The man would took off. And... right, are we nearly there?
No,
we
have another 4 minutes.
Another 4 minutes. My watch is wrong.
Yeah.
Well, say hello to all the nesters down in Galway. I'm sure they're listening to the radio this morning. Yes,
they're all laughing.
Yeah, they're all laughing at us. Turning up the radio now, I'd say. Would you?
I would think so, yeah. We had good fun down there.
Yes, we had very, very good fun down
there. Remember when we got the patching down there?
We can't talk about things like that on the radio.
No.
But one night, I'll never forget, and that is we're up at the site in Galway. Yeah. And whatever happened, Charlie went missing.
That's right.
And the place was actually pitch dark on top of a mountain, you could say. And we were out roaring, Charlie! There was about 10 of us out looking for him, in case he'd fallen overboard, or over a cliff, or down into a hole, or whatever. So about after half an hour, we arrived back down at the house, and here's your man smiling away at us. Not lost. We were the ones that was lost.
Smiling is the word.
It was a good night that night.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. Brilliant night.
That was the night that John Roach went on the air in Loughrea.
In Loughrea. Mm. And what else? Nothing happening in Longford now, is there?
Well, Jerry Conboy has a station in Longford.
Mm-hmm. And what about down there? What?
I don't know. It's just
Longford though has been marked over the years. Many radio stations in Longford. About five, altogether six.
The Heady Eddie installed a station in Longford one time called Midland Radio. I think it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it closed down. And Breffni Radio had a station there on 10:25.
Two.
That was. Central Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Industrial Radio Longford.
That was on 10:71 at that time.
Three stations.
And then Joe Conway came on again. He had 864.
Four stations.
And he went off. And there was a station in Ligon as well. It's a station that operates at the weekends. I think it was a 103.7. That's outside of Edgerstown.
Mm-hmm.
But the population of Longford's very, very small.
Well, we're at the reckoning of about five. No, I'd say we're at the forgetting a couple.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been about seven stations in Longford in the last, three, 4 years?
3-4 years, that's correct.
None of them lasted any longer than, 6 months?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I mean, there was a lot of money spent there. There was aerials and towers and transistors gone in.
Everything.
Studios and everything else. And after a couple of months, the whole lot was pulled out of it. And we actually always found that, as far as advertising was concerned, we always that Kitty was never rich out of.
Yeah.
For some unknown reason, what it is, I don't know. That whether they listen to us or they don't listen to us, whatever the case might be. There's one thing you might agree with me on this. We were talking about radio last night, coming back, and it kind of occurred to me yesterday doing the outside broadcast in Tullamore that the amount of people that listen to the Pirates, right, are a certain type of people. And they will listen, they have their favourite pirate, right? But normally they will listen to pirate stations.
Really?
If you mention RTE to them, as we did, myself and Charlie, actually, on the way back from Tullamore last night, we called in two different pubs, and there was two guys that came up to us, and they kind of hit me a box in the back, and said, oh, you're going off. You know what I mean? That's desperate altogether. And the both of them had the same comment, and that is that RTE was catering for Dublin full stop.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
And now, on the other hand, I often went into shops and pubs and hotels, wherever the case may be, and RTE would be playing, right?
Mm.
And I might make a suggestion to you, man. Well, you know, you've Radio West here now spending the money this evening, and you have to play Radio West while we're here. And if Larry Gogan comes in after us, will you put back on RTE? Kind of thing. A lot of the time found that these guys, basically, they can give a hoot. They kind of leave the station RTE. It was always turned down low, and they'd never listen to it.
That's correct.
So I reckon the people that have RTE on, it's turned down low, and they don't listen to it. I think the people that listen to the pirates listen to them for the mistakes they're going to make, for the local bit of news or crack or ads or whatever. Now, what's your opinion on that?
Well, the reason why they would have it so low in the background is just as a background music,
mm-hmm.
a cheap form of background entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said there, but the pirates will be watching for the mistakes and all that, but that's not as bad now as it,
no, no,
as it used to be.
More professional.
Yeah, definitely not.
Mm-hmm. Right, so we're near time up there, Willie?
We are, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Riley, for coming in today.
Thank you, sir.
You might even come in next week. Sunday is the last one.
Yeah, you might ramble down this way next
week.
Next Sunday is the...
We'll have to prepare something for next Sunday.
The end of it. That's the last. It's the
I
last
don't mind what expenses are good.
Oh, yeah, the expenses.
Don't have any more Sundays.
Nora, have you got tea ready down there? Right, we'll see you all next week.
All the best.
Right, no news actually before you go. Anything strange happening this week in your areas anyway?
Nothing. In fact, there's no breakdowns now for the past.
So you're very, very slack.
Very, very slack, yeah.
Any work out there for Jerry Riley, Engineer Riley?
Not at all.
Give him a shout.
Know where he is.
See you all next Sunday.
Okay, bye. We have an extended landlink for you this afternoon. It will run till about 12:15. It's the final fact landlink program we have. And you'll be hearing John and the lads kind of compiling the best of Landlink as it has been over the last 3 or 4 years. And by the way, for those of you listening in, a public meeting will be taking place on taxation of PRSI on Tuesday the 13th of December at 8 p.m. at the Rustigan Abbey Shrew. Guest speakers will include Mr. O'Grady, Inspector of Taxes, Miss Moray Foley, Department of Agriculture, and Martin Good of the IFA Farm and Business Community. Now, by the way, all full and part-time farmers, you are requested to attend this particular meeting December 8th, December 13th, in fact, Tuesday night at the Rustigan in Abbey Shrew. And by the way, on behalf of the boys of Landlink, thanks to them, we had a marvellous run of that programme. And we'll also say thanks to Tom and all at Williams Waller. Landlink is next.
Ho, ho, ho! It's the Avonmore Home and Farm Shop Christmas Spectacular, lasting right up to the 24th of December, with bags of special offers for everyone.
Music centre, only £125. 1.3 cubic foot microwave oven with browner, £289. Boys and girls, 5-speed bicycles, only £119.95. Carra Leisure Carnival Gas Cooker, £275.
And there's more.
Krupp's Food Processor, £64.95. Polish Coal, only £59.95 a half. Ton, Black & Decker electric drill, $37.95. Or choose from a wide selection of other Christmas specials at the Avonmore Home and Farm Shop.
Merry Christmas, customers!
Farmers, for positive animal health, switch to probiotics. Williams Waller Limited are pleased to announce their appointment as distributors for the ProVita range of probiotics. All newborn calves should be dosed at birth with ProVita Lacteal to prevent scours and other disorders, so ensuring healthy, vigorous growth at minimum cost. Call to any Williams Waller or MPO Bryan branch for the full technical details of this exciting new development in preventive medicine. Williams Waller Limited, farm supplies to the Greater Midlands area.
Anybody got a hat? Here I come. Lovely car and lots of fun.
Are you buying a new car soon? Here's an invitation. Call to John Carroll's Car Sales Kilbeggan and test drive the Daihatsu Charade. Available in petrol and diesel. Top trade-ins given. Phone AJ or John now to arrange a test drive in this amazing car.
It can do the same for you. Daihatsu, here we go.
050-632-174. Hello and welcome to what is our last edition of Landlink on Radio West, our West National Radio 3. Yes, it is our final programme. It's the wind down of radio as we know it at the moment, but maybe we'll be back under a new guise at some future date. However, in this programme, what have we got for you? Well, we'll be talking about getting ready for calving, because that'll be coming up fairly soon. We'll be winding up on our little series on taxation, just what you need to present to the taxman. And in the second half of the programme, we're letting ourselves run a wee bit free. We have Tom Ryan with us from Williams Waller, and we're going to be looking at the farming in the past, where it is at the moment, and do a little bit of crystal ball gazing to see where it's going in the future. Well, looking back at the last week, first of all, it was a wet and windy week mainly, lots of rain falling and some very high winds, leaving no scope, as far as I'm concerned, for tillage operations at least. I don't know how it is in the cattle end of things. The tillage man now goes into hibernation, I think, for a few weeks until, well, maybe for a few months, up until sometime in February when we're talking about putting out early nitrogen, but that's in another year. Now, along with the wet and windy weather last week, we had this salmonella poisoning from chicken and eggs. It has been traced, so far as we believe anyway, to infected imported feed, so it may be under control at this stage. However, everybody should do as their mothers told them when they were young people, cook the hell out of the chicken and hard-boil your eggs. Now, there still seems to be trouble down in Carrigansure, talking about pollution and so on, in Carrigansure on that farm where there's concern expressed about emissions from a local chemical factory. Now, I see the people in Cork are also getting worried about it because of the concentration of chemical industries in that locality. Now, I believe that this is an area, from an agricultural point of view, and then indeed from an ordinary health point of view, which needs much increased vigilance and research by all concerned. More research is needed because we need to know the effects of these byproducts and emissions from these kind of places and the local, and their effect on the local environment. Another item of news that I see during the week, Mr. Ray McSharry, our past Minister for Finance, may get the agricultural portfolio in Brussels. Now, it may be good, I think, to have a friend in court, so to speak, there. Fergus, can I go over to you and ask you, how has the cattle trade gone this week?
Well, we're still in a fairly good situation. There's a strong trade, excuse me, for finished cattle, because we're coming very close to the end of APS. So the factories are out there trying to get all the cattle they can to fill their contracts. You could talk about commercial cattle at about 1.17 pence a pound, and up to 1.20 can be got for the right type of cattle. Heifers are about 1.10 pence a pound, and the cow trade is steady at 92 pence a pound. The lamb trade is very, very good, I suppose, almost exceptional coming up into Christmas. There's a very good trade, and you're talking about 1.15 pence to 1.18 pence a pound. 1.18, 1.19 is in the French trade, and 1.15 is in the Italian trade, where our friends in the west of Ireland, Halal especially, would be mostly buying lamb for that type of trade. The numbers of quality lamb are still scarce. But factories are out there trying to get lamb, because there's one thing that's very important in the commercial world is that you have a constant supply if you hope to retain a market.
Fergus, can I just, I want to bring you back, sorry, just to the cattle prices for a minute. You're saying that the end of APS is coming fairly soon, but the factory people are still out there hunting for livestock. When APS is finished, when it's finally finished this year, are we going to see a drop?
I think yes. I don't think a dramatic drop. I think we're definitely going to get a drop back from the 1.18, 1.19, 1.20 pence a pound. Myself, I think it'll open at about 1.15 pence a pound for a bit of quality. We're coming into Christmas. The demand won't be great. I think we'll have a lull during Christmas and maybe shortly after Christmas. But I think we'll hold a steady trade. And I'm crystal ball gazing. I think April, May, we'll see the high price for steer beef next year in 1989.
And again, the lamb trade, I'm sure Christmas will have its effect, or post-Christmas.
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, lamb is more than surprising for the last 2 to 3 years, especially for the last 2 years. Farmers are much better. I must say that somebody is teaching them, and I'm not going to take any praise at all for it, but they are marketing the lamb much, much better than a few years back when all our lamb used to be on the trade from in the autumn months of the year. This year we're selling very well from May on, and I think that's a great situation.
Well, have you any other news on the market scene?
I suppose. There's a good trade for lamb in France, and that's very important for us, and there's light supplies there, even though England is the big supplier, but there's still not oversupplied market. I suppose the interesting thing to think about, and just a few last comments, my last comments on the cattle slaughterings, we're estimating, the CBF are estimating, that about 960,000 head of cattle have been slaughtered up to the end of October, which would be about 15% lower than in 1987. Now, if farmers have been listening during the week to the CSO figures, they will have found out that we have slaughtered as much meat as before. So if we have a 15% drop in numbers and we have slaughtered as much meat, the only thing I can say is that we are slaughtering our carcasses much heavier. There's a lot of heavy cattle out there. So if there's a discrepancy in there, it's mostly in, I'd say, heavier carcasses in the situation. But definitely there's not as many animals around. We'd all accept that. I suppose the other thing I suppose that's interesting is to see what countries used APS this year and how big did we use APS. To be quite honest about it, there was only two countries that increased their supply in the APS market in 1988, and that was France, which last year supplied about 10,000 tonnes into it in 1987, is gone to 28,000 tonnes in 1988. Ireland put 79,000 tonnes into it in 1987, and this year we're putting 133,000 tonnes into it. So only two countries increased, all the rest had a decrease. So I suppose these are...